where to turn when you find yourself in crisis, wherever you live in Maine. More than 50% of people living in Maine and dealing with a mental health crisis head to the emergency room for help. This can be both costly and time-consuming. What many Mainers may not know is that they have another option. Maine has a statewide crisis hotline, which works with a network of agencies to respond to people quickly. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, where to turn if you don't need immediate medical attention, but do need to talk with someone about a crisis you or someone you know is going through. We'll learn about the statewide crisis hotline, the mobile crisis teams that are ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to serve people in their homes. Maine Calling looks at how Maine's crisis system works. But first, the news. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. When faced with a medical crisis, we all know where to turn, either call 911 or go to the emergency room. But what if you're in a crisis that isn't directly related to a medical condition, not a heart attack or a stroke? It might be a drug dependency issue or a mental health problem or some other emergency that does not require the help of a traditional emergency room. Throughout our state, there is a network of crisis centers whose purpose is to help then. Today, we'll hear from two people who work for these crisis centers. With me in the studio, Leslie Mulhern. She's Director of Crisis and Community-Based Services at Sweetser, and Amy Brook, who is Manager of Mobile Crisis Services, Community Health, and Counseling Services for Penobscot and Piscataquis counties. Of course, we want to hear from you. Are you aware of the Maine crisis centers? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Leslie and Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. Leslie, let me start with this whole concept of when to go to the emergency room and when not to go to the emergency room. I know by talking with you and reading some of your material that more than 50% of the people who have a mental health crisis go to the emergency room when they really don't need to, because they're going to end up seeing one of your counselors there.
Yes. First of all, Jennifer, thanks so much for having us on. It's really exciting to be able to talk about the statewide mobile crisis service that's available to folks. Let me start by saying, if you think you need to be in an emergency department, please go. This conversation is not about anybody walking down a risky path around their medical or mental health. However, if you're feeling like your physical body is just fine and you really are upset and want to speak to somebody about something that's going on in your life or some things, thoughts that you're having in your own mind, that's the time to call the 888 line. We have a statewide line, 1-888-568-1112, that operates 24/7. It's manned, if you will, by trained crisis service professionals. Each one of the people that man that telephone line have been through a specific training for crisis stabilization. So they know what you're going to be talking about. They've talked to many people before in very similar situations, even though there's such a variety of things that you might call the crisis team for. So I think you have to go to the emergency room when you feel that's the best place for you to be. But if you're not sure, or if you just want to learn more about crisis services, you can call the 888 line first and talk to the trained professionals, and they can let you know if this is an emergency room situation, or we can maybe come to you, or you can come to us.
Now, I want to give out the phone number again for the crisis hotline, 1-888-568-1112. I know it might be confusing from some of our listeners as we're giving out the phone number to call into Maine Calling as well as giving out that number. We will be posting the Maine crisis hotline phone number on our Facebook page. Leslie, where else can someone find this phone number if they, are, say, in the car right now and can't memorize it?
Sure.
Where would you go to find that hotline number?
Sure. Well, I think an easy number to remember is 211, and that's our state sort of resource number, 211. And 211 can always connect you to the crisis line and to the mobile team in your area. Also 911. you know, sometimes people really understand about 911. Most of the police departments in the state of Maine are well aware of crisis services and can help you get connected as well. Your emergency rooms can also help you get connected to the crisis teams.
Okay. But I'm guessing you think it's probably not a bad idea to write down the 888 number at some point. Maybe put it on your refrigerator, put it in an easy place so that if you have some sort of mental health crisis or, you know, maybe just are at your wit's end about something, you have somewhere to call.
Right. And that's what we say to people. We say, don't worry about if you're calling for the right reason or not. Just call. We will help you determine what kind of resources you might need. It might not be us, but we can certainly get you connected to where you need to be. What in our field, we always say, you define the crisis, not me. So you define the crisis. You say, hey, I'm having trouble with my little toddler. Oh, I can never get to sleep at night, and I'm really getting ready to pull my hair out over it. Give us a call. Maybe it's really at the point where there could be some danger, or maybe we can just help you remember to maybe call your pediatrician and they'd have some good ideas.
All right.
It can be simple.
Well, Amy Brooke, I want to bring you into the conversation. Tell me about a crisis response team. What is that exactly, and where do they operate in Maine?
Well, Jennifer, thank you first for having me on your show. I'm excited to be here with Leslie and you. The crisis response team is statewide, and that if you call the 888 crisis hotline number, it will put you in touch with the closest team to your geographical location, and you can talk to somebody who's right in your neighborhood. You talk to them, and they will help you. Like Leslie said, anybody answering that call is going to be specifically trained for crisis stabilization services. They'll ask a series of questions to help assess what your further needs may be. And it could be that you have all the services that are needed, but you're just having a particularly difficult day, and some phone support is enough. So 15 minutes on the phone with a trained provider is going to be enough to get your feet back under you and on with your day. Or it could be that you really have held on much longer than anybody could, and you've reached the end of your rope and you need some help. A crisis worker can meet with you at that point and help connect you or link you with services that will help you on an ongoing basis get your feet under you and return to the functioning level that you're used to if you've really felt yourself kind of slipping.
So let me bring up a scenario that I know, unfortunately, is not uncommon in Maine. Let's say you have a teenager who's threatening suicide, and the mom calls the crisis hotline. What happens then? What if the hotline, the person who's talking with this mom on the phone, discerns, yes, this is very scary, and this could be a situation that needs to be taken very seriously. What happens next?
Well, crisis services can jump in at any point. If I could back up just one moment, though, I'd like to add, we encourage people not to wait until things reach a breaking point. If there are indicators that yourself or someone you know or love is struggling, whether it's, you know, decreased sleep or appetite, their ability to focus is diminished, concentration at school or work is impaired, to give us a call. Those are early indicators that somebody is maybe depressed, going down a road that's, you know, interfering with their functioning. Mm. So we encourage people to call sooner rather than later, even if it's just for a conversation about what's going on and how can we intercept this this path and help turn them around. So what we would do is have a further conversation. There's a whole series of assessment questions that are asked with the caller, assessing everything from, you know, is there a level of hopelessness? Is there suicidal thinking? Or is it really just kind of low-level depression and we need to plug in some services? And we encourage family members to call, too. Sometimes the person in crisis themselves isn't feeling well enough to call even. So we'll have, you know, we get many calls from family members. We encourage them to get with that person and maybe call together to reach out for some help.
It's interesting because we're talking about crisis services, and I think most people would think of a crisis as what you said, as the breaking point. But it's almost a misnomer, isn't it? Because this is really maybe should just be categorized as a helpline if you need help to call this number.
Right. You know, the line in Portland is actually called 774-HELP because that's what it's been known as for years and years and years. So a lot of people end up calling that line. But the statewide number is the 888 number. But you're absolutely right, Jennifer. We really do want to do prevention, and we'll come out and talk about the things that are happening in your family that are upsetting and what to do next. We take calls from family members for sure. We also take calls from concerned friends or schools or police stations. We do a lot of the assessments in our jails in the community of Maine. And also, just to add to what Amy was saying, what you can expect is when somebody comes to your home is an assessment. And I mean, really understanding what does the picture look like? What are all the things that are adding to the stress that's going on for somebody? And then a thorough conversation with you and your family member about what you think would be helpful. Not just, okay, we've heard your story, now go here. We really have a conversation. Our workers are trained to have a conversation with you and figure out what you and your family think would be best as an intervention. Not everybody, even though they're having ideas of hurting themselves, have to be in a hospital. Some people absolutely do have to be in a hospital, but not everybody. Some people can utilize a combination of services in their community so they don't have to go to that higher level of care. And I think that's why the state of Maine spent so much money to put the crisis line in place so that people can really be treated in what we call the least restrictive environment.
And I want to use, funny you brought up money, because I wanted to ask about that. Amy, if you want to take a stab at this, who pays for this? How is this possible?
Well, crisis services is actually I consider it it's a bit of a luxury because we can serve anybody regardless of ability to pay. We will come and we'll meet with anybody who calls the crisis hotline. They don't have to have insurance. They won't be sent a bill. We will meet with them. We'll help assess what their needs are and help the best that we can link them to services. Now, all the services are not free of charge, but crisis services can help work with individuals and with families to stabilize the crisis, really, and make sure that people are safe the best
so
we can.
So no matter what the ability to pay is, you're there?
Yes.
And if someone is able to pay, is this something that at some point, if someone is getting professional counseling because of their call to the crisis line or the helpline, that will be billed to insurance or Medicare or?
Yeah.
Right. The crisis assessment is separate from their ongoing treatment, if you will. And yes, about 52% of adults that we see have MaineCare. Which most people would think it's just a MaineCare service. It's really not. That's only half of the people that we see. About 20% of the people don't have any insurance at all, and we will definitely see them. The other thing to let folks know is that this doesn't have to be a one-shot deal. We know that sometimes things can't be stabilized in one conversation or one visit. We can stay connected with you and your family for up to 30 days. To help you make sure that we've put a plan together that's going to work for you and that you're linked well to the resources that you need, whether those resources might be other family members or friends or more traditional therapy services or other kinds of things.
If you'd like to join the conversation here today, the phone number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can email talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. If you have a question about crisis services here in Maine, Amy Brooke, you look like you wanted to jump in before.
I just wanted to really underscore on what Leslie was saying. If you call sooner rather than later in the crisis, as your crisis is ramping up, or as you're feeling like you're unraveling rather, we can plug in those services for 30 days, and your needs will be less if you intervene earlier. And so people hold on as long as they can. And we really try to get people to call in or reach out before it reaches that point because, you know, the ability to offer support is greater and more effective.
What are some examples of the kind of people who might call? What are some of your more common calls?
Well, the example that you gave is unfortunately a common call for us. We in Portland, we have a specialized child team. All of the teams have special training in adults and all different kinds of populations. But because of the population size of Portland, we're able to have just one small team of that are just work with kids. And unfortunately, they get a lot of those calls. Young kids who are really struggling with how to cope with the pressures, and they're using what we would consider maladaptive coping ideas or strategies to deal with some of the stresses that they have either at school or at home, whether it be divorcing parents or just pressure at school, or sometimes a contagion effect of other kids at school doing something that's not healthy for them, and then your child all of a sudden is in the group and doing the same thing. What do I do about that? And that's when we say, you know, before it gets out of hand, give us a call and we'll talk to you about that. We also get many adults who are suffering from depression and having ideas or thoughts of harming themselves or harming somebody else. Our teams are very used to talking to folks with those kinds of issues and helping them figure out what's the next step, what's the best strategy for them to stop feeling that way, to get some hope back in their life. I always say to my team, you're in charge of holding the hope when no one else can. That's your job. Hold the hope, because sometimes depression gets the best of us and we need someone to do that for us.
And I think we, you know, working in two separate catchment areas, that's the common theme, though, throughout the statewide crisis services. We are there to help them identify some hope where they feel there is none, help them identify their hope, mm-hmm. and help them hold it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. Stay with us. This is Maine Calling.
Next time on The World, a photographer captured images of refugees from Sudan, but not one magazine was interested until she pointed her camera away from their faces and focused on their shoes.
It's more effective to ask the viewer to look at the shoes, to look at the name, the age. What if that was your pair of shoes, and, you know, that represents a journey that you had to make?
The Shoes of Sudanese Refugees, next time on The World.
And you can join us for The World this afternoon at 3 here on MPBN Radio. A huge thanks to everyone who participated in our search for the first ever Ultimate MPBN Ski Bomb. We received tons of entries along with a lot of great photos of folks carving it up on the slopes. We were amazed at the number of entries and all the great thoughts and pics that many of you shared. One of those folks was Jerry Miller of Southwest Harbor, and he was selected as MPBN's 2014 official Ski Bomb. Is this a life-changing event? Probably not, but Jerry and his friends and family won a pretty cool prize pack, compliments of Saddleback Mountain and Gorham Bike and Ski. Thanks to Saddleback and Gorham Bike and Ski, and big congrats to Jerry Miller of Southwest Harbor. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Maine's Crisis Centers. With me in the studio, Leslie Mulhern, Director of Crisis and Community-Based Services at Sweetser, and Amy Brook, Manager of Mobile Crisis Services, Community Health and Counseling Services for Penobscot and Patapsco Counties. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We just had a call that actually dropped, but our producer was able to talk to this woman for a little bit first. She said that she has used your services, and what she was most struck by was the follow-through that the crisis workers had with her family. And I witnessed that, Leslie, when I was in your office last week, that the two young women who were sitting there in the office were calling people back, saying, how's it going? You know, have you connected with your school counselor? Have you done this and done that? Is that a matter of course for every case?
It is. We have learned through the years, unfortunately, that unfortunately meaning that we had to even learn this, that follow-through is so important. That I think one of the most difficult times for people actually out after they've been hospitalized is the first 24 hours that they're home. So we are working really hard with our hospitals to learn when they're discharging people to home so that we can call them or go to their home on that day to make sure that the plans that they put in place, the way they thought it was going to be when they got home, really was like that, or what other kind of supports do they need. Also, I think the other thing is that when we get to know people, we learn more. So if we follow up and talk with them more and more, we're able to help even more because we know them better.
Great. So the phone number to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Scott Metzger, who is the manager of the statewide intentional warm line. Scott, welcome to Maine Calling. What exactly is a warm line?
Thank you, Jennifer. You know, the warm line is a 24/7 statewide line as well for individuals challenged with mental health. But one of the significant differences is that it's staffed with people who've also faced similar challenges. They've moved along in their own wellness and received some special training and intentional peer support. And when people call in, they're able to make that connection based on that.
Now, is this the same phone number as the crisis number that we've been given out?
No, it's not. It's an individual specific number. I can give you that number. It's 866-771-9276. Though the crisis services have the ability to connect somebody to the warm line and vice versa from the warm line to the crisis services.
Okay, we'll post both of those numbers on our Facebook page, again, so that we're not confusing anybody who calls 211 and says they would like to be connected with the warm line would be able to be connected, correct?
They would be able to, yes.
Okay, so what if somebody calls the warm line and your volunteer, or the person that's been trained on the other end, realizes, you know what, this is really a crisis and we need intervention?
Yep. Well, it doesn't happen very often. We have protocols in place that the person can be transferred to any one of the crisis agencies around the state. And we do it in a manner, what we call a warm handoff, where we stay on the phone until they get the help that they need, and we stay on the phone as long as the individual wants us to.
What?
That way they can get connected without having a recall.
Who would you recommend would call the warm line, the statewide warm line?
Well, we really have, I would say, no barriers. First of all, it's anonymous, so anybody can call. If they want to share their name, that's great, to make that connection. And it can really be from a range of issues. But basically, I think it's when people are sitting with some type of discomfort, many times because they don't have relationships to turn to themselves and get that positive support.
Do people call just because they want somebody to talk to?
In the state of Maine, it's a fact that we just have so much rural area and that people don't have the transportation that quite frequently is the case. What we do try to do, while we will talk to them over time, what we hopefully do is to kind of support them in developing their own system so that they can have other people to rely on in the long term and develop healthy relationships.
Okay, so if I'm listening to this Maine Calling program and I don't know anything about the services, or I didn't know anything about the services beforehand, how would someone determine whether what they want to call is the crisis helpline or the warm line?
That's a good question, and we should get both sides to weigh in on that. I would say if there's an immediate concern of safety, health, and the individual's not sure, they can absolutely call a crisis line. If it's something where they're sitting with a lot of discomfort and want to explore that and work on some preventative coping skills, they could call the warm line.
Leslie Mulhern, you're nodding.
If the warm line and it was a crisis, we could move them over very quickly.
Leslie?
Yeah, I would agree with Scott. I think there is some overlap. And the good news is that if you're in the community, you don't have to figure it out. We'll help you figure that out when you call. So I agree with Scott. I think that immediate, for sure, you should call crisis services. And when you're first exploring, I think the warm line is a good way to go. But if you make a mistake and call the wrong line, not to worry. We'll help you through it and figure out which is the best place to call. Can I add one thing, Jennifer,
sure,
to that idea? What we've also found is practicing calling is a good idea. So let's say I'm someone who has had some mental health problems in the past, and I think, I might have a mental health crisis in the future. I might just pick up the phone and call the crisis line just to see what it's like. We encourage therapists who are working with folks who are having a really difficult time and might need crisis services to pick up the phone and call so that they know what it's like to have the line answered and explain what's going on and talk to a crisis clinician. We also encourage folks to come in and see our walk-in clinics. You don't have to be in crisis to come in. Just come on in and say hi. Just wanted to meet you. And you can find those walk-in clinics anywhere in the state of Maine by calling the 888-568-1112 number, and we'll get you those locations.
And a walk-in clinic, by walk-in, you mean walk-in?
Walk-in.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I'd like to get a sense here of some of the numbers that we're talking about. Leslie, you and I had a conversation last week that really just blew me away, to be honest with you. How many people in Maine will face a crisis at some point in their lives?
Well, an exact number, I'm not sure, but up to 10% of the population has potentially a mental health difficulty at any one time. So to me, that's a lot of people. That means about 100,000 people right now are experiencing some kind of mental health or substance abuse issue. And that number is probably a lot larger than that, because we only know about the people that we talk to, not about the folks that were either too isolated or too concerned to call. Last year alone, we took calls from 36,000 children or their families and 165,000 adults. So we took a lot of calls. That's about 200,000 calls altogether. And that's, you know, sort of some back and forth calling as well. We did about 23,000 face-to-faces, meaning we went to people's homes or we saw people in jails, emergency departments, in the schools, or in our offices 23,000 times throughout the state. So there's certainly people using our service, but we want to make sure that everybody knows about it and not just the folks that are using us on a regular basis.
And Scott, what about the warm line? How many people are using that every year?
We take about 33,000 to 35,000 calls. Some of those people may also be calling crisis. We don't cross-check that. And we served in the last 4 years just about 4,000 people. So we have, it's a little bit different than crisis, that we do develop relationships with folks and have kind of that ongoing support. And then hopefully as they get that support, they move along in their own wellness. So we are staffed a little bit different. Instead of like six or seven agencies around the state, there's just one agency in one location where all the statewide calls come in. And we always have two staff on board to handle those calls. So we're quite busy.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. Scott Metzger, manager of the Statewide Intentional Warm Line. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can tweet at Maine Calling, email talk@mpbn.net, or post to our Facebook page. Go ahead, Amy.
Just had one thing to add. Leslie talked about making practice calls to the crisis hotline. Another service that Mobile Crisis can offer in preventative work is coming out and meeting people, whether it's to help establish a plan, an action plan for if they do go into crisis, what to do. This works particularly well with children who may be nervous about accessing crisis services. So oftentimes we'll go into people's homes or into schools and meet with a child or a family so that it takes some of the mystery out of it. It demystifies it for, you know, whoever may need it in the future. It makes it more likely they'll call in and get some support earlier rather than later in the crisis cycle.
Do you face people who are suspicious?
We do. A large part of our work is working with people with addiction issues. And sometimes that component adds a heightened level of suspicious thinking. You know, anything from really addiction issues to people experiencing some disrupted thought processing. We do.
And what would you say to someone who's afraid, gee, I'd like to call, but if somebody finds out about this, I could fill in the blank, lose my job,
right,
or lose my marriage?
Right.
Or, I mean, what kind of guarantee of privacy do you have?
Part of the first part of the conversation we have with people when they're calling in and when we meet with them about what they can expect for privacy with us. The crisis workers are mandated reporters, which means if we hear that somebody is being hurt or harmed, that we would maybe need to call that in. But outside of that, we're held to all HIPAA regulations and privacy.
Okay. Well, we have a tweet here. Who are the people answering the phones? How are they trained?
The folks answering the phones all have a certificate, crisis service professional. It takes, on average, I would say 4 to 6 weeks of training before someone even answers the phone. So there is a whole curriculum. I think there's about 13 modules in the curriculum. Thank you, Amy. And you have to go through all those modules and test out on them. They're also trained by some of the workers that you will be working with probably on your team. Then you do a few weeks of shadowing. So you watch the other people who are already trained and seasoned. Then they watch you. So you don't go into a session by yourself or even get on the phone by yourself. Someone's monitoring what you're saying and doing. And then you start to take some things on your own. And when you feel comfortable and your team feels comfortable that you understand all of the concepts, then you're ready to go. The reason it takes so long, and this is mostly with people with either their bachelor's level training already or their master's degree already, the reason it takes so long is because we work with everybody. We work with children. We work with adults. We work with every diagnosis you can imagine, mental health and substance abuse and geriatric issues, mental retardation issues. We are sort of the do-it-all team, if you will, in the state.
All right. Going to a call now. Carolyn in Cushing. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Oh, thanks. This is not about marketing or promotion in any way. I believe that the number of people in crisis is greater than 10% because of the rampant use of drugs. People just don't know where to go. Just a year ago, a little over a year ago, we opened a sober house for women in Rockland. It's small. We can accommodate 7 women. But there's nothing north of Portland for women. So we created something that's low cost. It's private. And it's working. We've had 15 women come through, and we have a 30% success rate to date. And that's much higher, actually. That's success for the period of time they're with us, which has been up to 7 months. And we've had heroin addicts come through, and they're clean and thanking us for saving their lives. And so it's Virginia House, Maine.com. And I can give you my number if anybody wants any more information, but we are trying to help this group of people who are in crisis who tell us, I didn't know what to do. I thought my life was going to be this way forever. And
Carolyn, I'm going to ask you, we're giving out so many phone numbers today. I'm a little worried about that, especially since so many people listen from their cars. But if you could go on our Facebook page and please post information about your organization and the work that you do, that would be wonderful. That way it will stay there for a while. MPBN Main Calling Facebook page. Leslie, though, she brings up an important issue, which is lack of services for certain segments of our, our society, of our the problem issues. And so somebody calls the crisis hotline, the help line. They have a substance abuse issue or an alcohol issue. But then what? I mean, is the next step there? Are there enough services available to enough people that you can help them get the help they need, really?
I think it's a really good question, and I hope that Carolyn is connected with the crisis team in her area to make sure that that team is aware of that service. So I think what I would say about it is the crisis team does know about the services in their area. Are there enough services for everybody in immediate need? Probably not. Maine is a very rural state, so even though there's definitely services in a rustic county, there might not be one right next to your door. However, the crisis team can give you the best bet at finding what's out there for you and help you get a plan together that's workable if there isn't something ready at your fingertips.
All right. Well, Carolyn, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN Radio Listener Contributions and by Techport, offering iPad and MacBook service in downtown Portland. Mac certified and locally owned. Learn more at techportmaine.com.
Each morning at 10, the Maine Capital Connection television channel provides daily coverage of the Maine State Legislature in Augusta. House and Senate sessions, select committee hearings, and occasional interviews and press conferences are offered, as well as a rebroadcast of the day's coverage in the evening, usually at 7 o'clock. The Maine Capital Connection channel is available over the air and on many of Maine's cable companies' digital tiers. For information about the channel, including how to find it, and the current flexible schedule, visit mpbn.net or call MPBN Audience Services at 800-884-1717. Again, that's 800-884-1717.
They do a job that millions watch while they are in school. Should they get paid?
We're not talking about millions of dollars anymore in this sport. We're talking about billions of dollars. You have coaches making $5 and $6 million. The money has to go somewhere.
Should college athletes get union benefits and union pay for their efforts on the football field? Next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
You can join us for The Takeaway tonight at midnight here on MPBN Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, learning about the services offered by Maine's crisis centers. With me in the studio, Leslie Mulhern, who's Director of Crisis and Community-Based Services at Sweetser, and Amy Brook, Manager of Mobile Crisis Services, Community Health, and Counseling Services for Penobscot and Piscataquis Counties. We invite you to join the conversation. You can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Amy, we started the program talking about how many people will go to the emergency room when they're having a mental health crisis. We've also talked about, the fact that this is a no-barrier service, that you will help anyone regardless of their ability to pay. It seems as though this is a luxury, and that isn't it wonderful that the state of Maine is being able to afford a crisis line? But I'm guessing, and I'd like you to fill in the blanks here, that it actually costs the state less for someone to call a crisis line than to go to an emergency room.
Absolutely. It does cost less to call the crisis line, meet with a mobile crisis worker outside of the emergency department. If somebody comes into the emergency department, it will generate a bill, and that person will get a bill. And mobile crisis services is not part of that, but they'll still get the hospital bill. If they call us and we meet with them outside of the emergency department, they won't get a bill for the crisis service. So, that's just – it's one way to save some money.
And what are some ballpark numbers? How much is it costing your insurance company or MaineCare or whoever if you go to the emergency room with a mental health emergency?
Well, my understanding of some of the – emergency departments up in those two counties is it can be $1,200 just to walk through the door, to be triaged by the nurse to walk through the emergency department door, regardless of what you're presenting there for, just to walk in.
Okay. And you also started at the very beginning, Leslie, by saying, by all means, if you think you've had an overdose or if somebody's bleeding, right, go to the emergency room. But if you are just feeling like you're in a really dark place, a really panicky place, I'm trying to put this into real language. Am I saying right that this is when you call the crisis line?
Absolutely. And Amy said it before, call sooner. If you're just not sure, call us. And if we think that you need to be in the emergency department, we'll help you get there for sure. We definitely tell people to go to the emergency room. But there's so many people that we even see there that could have been treated in a less restrictive place. They could have been treated in their own home. I think, Jennifer, when you were at our site the other day, you actually, even though I'm not sure you understood what was going on, but we actually had done a home visit and the worker was back on site helping a child get hospitalized. So the child was able to stay home. They never had to go to the emergency room and go through the physical exam. The crisis clinician came to the home, talked to the child and the family. The family stayed close with the child to make sure that they were safe. And then the crisis clinician secured a bed, called the hospital and said, this is the presentation of this young person and they really need the help of a hospital inpatient setting. Would you accept them as your patient? Hospital said yes. We were able to call the family and said, the hospital is all set to take you. So you can just drive on over and you can be admitted. it's just a much nicer way to receive services if you don't need to be in the emergency room. And I can't stress that enough. I would hate for people to think that crisis services doesn't want people to go to the emergency room. We really do if you need to be there. But if you don't, I think there's other alternatives for you, and we can give you the help that you need outside of that setting.
Great. We're going to Jonathan in Waterville. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to bring up the issue of mental health issues with college students. Some of the hardest times I ever had were when I was in college and then in grad school. And what I found is that the services that are available through the colleges for the college students are vastly underfunded and under-resourced, and that if you went in and you basically weren't going to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else immediately, they'd say, you know, you can talk to somebody in 3 weeks, which just is ridiculous for somebody who's obviously, if they're walking in the door, they're obviously in crisis. And I think maybe with Obamacare now, where younger people can stay on their parents' insurance and they can go to a doctor through their insurance, that may help that. But it's an incredibly stressful time. Kids are out on their own for the first time. And just from my experience, there's so many people who are struggling with mental health issues and are self-medicating with alcohol and drugs, and they just don't know what else to do. And then that was it. That was my comment.
Well, thanks for your comment. And Leslie has been nodding the whole time.
Jonathan, thank you so much for calling, because it did stir something up for me. We visit all of the schools in our what we call a catchment area. And you know what? I don't think we visit all of the colleges. So I'll make sure that we do that. But having said that, we go to all of the colleges in our catchment area, so they might know about us anyway. I think it's a really important point. And maybe are getting out to some of those colleges and putting up some posters to let friends know that they can call for their friend if the person isn't feeling like they can make the phone call. I think the other thing that Jonathan brings up is just the lack of services and lack of know-how. When we are trained to understand what the warning signs are, so where another therapist may be able to help talk you through, you know, problems with your parents, they may miss some of the warning signs. So I always think it's a great idea to call crisis services just to get that professional take on what you're looking at. The other thing I worry about for college students is stigma, and will they walk into their counseling center and then hear that it's 3 weeks? That might be the last time they ever reach out for help. So the crisis line, you can call and be anonymous if you want to. And so I think it's easier for folks to make that first call when they don't have to tell anyone who they are and still get the help that they need.
Great. Going to Matt in Portland. Hi, Matt. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I've been working in the mental health field for approximately 15 years, and I've had the opportunity to work with a grand number of people. One of my main questions is there opportunities for individuals in the mental health field to access services such as these that might not be in the general geographic area, whereas you work at times with the various organizations that essentially become your coworkers. In and of itself, you are expressing your hardships and your potential mental health challenges to the very people you work with on a day-to-day basis. This can, you know, bring about a tendency not to reach out for some people that do indeed need some help. Could you just tell me of any resources that might be available to fulfill those needs for these people?
Amy.
You're asking about how to provide services to people who work in the field. Is that right?
Is there an alternative,
okay,
you know, a program that might be just outside of the area where you're not necessarily talking to somebody,
sure,
you know, over the phone that you might see on Monday morning at, you know, team meeting working with one of your clients?
Right. You know, Maine being such a rural state, we bump into this often, and we have a great working relationship with the other crisis programs throughout the state. And there's a reciprocity there when there's a need in honoring the person's privacy as well. We work well with the neighboring crisis teams, and also when they're family members of people who are in the field working. We take it case by case to see what's the most appropriate, what's going to protect the privacy, yet meet the needs, and get everybody, you know, where they need to be safe and linked up with what services they need.
So, Amy, somebody who works in mental health services, say in Kennebec County, could call the crisis hotline and perhaps be hooked up with somebody in Androscoggin County or
yes.
something like that, who sort of has that one degree of separation.
We do that, and we also, talking about emergency departments, we, from time to time, will be called to step into an emergency department outside of our area because it's for need of somebody who works in the field, and they've come to their local ED.
Hmm. Interesting question. Thank you so much for calling, Matt. Going to Martha in Newfield. Hi, Martha.
Hello. I do prescription assistance work, medication access work through nonprofit MedHelp Maine. We're hearing from an increasing number of individuals who have lost their Maine care and therefore their access to their mental health meds. Sometimes these people have a prescription in hand and cannot afford to fill it. Can your folks there suggest what to do with these people?
Go ahead, give it a shot, Leslie.
Well, Amy and I just looked at each other because boy, Martha, we feel your pain for sure. We see those folks every single day, and it is a struggle. You know, in some areas, there are free clinics that people can get some medicine from. Sometimes there's prescription, free prescriptions or free drugs, if you will, that we can get people hooked up with. But it's a problem. It's a huge problem for people losing their main care. And I actually don't have the solution for that, but most of the time it's just working with somebody overtime to either get them back on main care because they're eligible for it, or find employment or those other kinds of things that can give them the resources that they need.
I think that one thing crisis services is great at is rallying resources. So we may not be able to help fund for the medication, but we certainly can help investigate all corners of, you know, areas that may be a resource for people, whether it's reduced prescription cards or things like that.
You'll turn over every stone for them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Martha, thanks for calling. We have a question from our Facebook page. Does it seem that men hesitate to call more than women for help? And if so, is there a good way to encourage a male to call?
You know, I didn't bring the statistics on men versus women, but I guess I would assume that probably more women call than men. We certainly have male crisis clinicians throughout the state, so I think if you're more interested in speaking to a man than you are to a woman, you could certainly ask for that. And then I also think helping men see that their mental health is just as important as a woman's mental health. And them getting help for that is just as important as a woman getting help for that. So I think give it a call, give it a try, give the hotline a try. And if you're not comfortable, give feedback to the hotline. That was the other thing I wanted to mention, Jennifer, is that each team is backed up 24/7 by a supervisor. So if you ever have any difficulty with the mobile service or the line, you can always ask to speak to a supervisor. So if you're uncomfortable with the worker that you called and maybe you did want to speak to a man, you could ask for the supervisor and ask for that. We also are backed up by a psychiatrist 24/7. And so that our team can get consultation from a psychiatrist at any time, day or night, to help them understand and work through what they're seeing to come to the best resolution.
Amy, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, add that that's an important part, Leslie, that, you know, you may be meeting with just one person, one crisis worker face to face, but that crisis worker has a whole panel of people behind them, backing them up. So a psychiatrist, a clinical supervisor, somebody involved in the case review and the plan.
How much, you know, we've sort of touched on this peripherally a little bit, but how much are you all dealing with stigma around mental health issues, too, and getting people to pick up that phone and talk to you?
I think it's a big problem. The caller who called in about the university, was it Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
My team works up in Penobscot, Piscataquis counties. We serve Hudson University, Maine. We get a number of students calling in there, calling the crisis hotline, specifically because they're nervous about accessing the services on campus for exactly that reason. They don't want their professors to know. They don't want their roommates to know, or their, you know, their dorm advisor, or things like that. I think it's a significant issue, and I think we chip away at it the best we can, and it's, you know, chances like this to come on and speak openly about it that help.
Well, the statewide crisis, the statewide 365-day, 24/7 hotline is 1-888-568-1112. We will also post that phone number on the Maine Calling Facebook page. If you are in your car and don't happen to be listening with a pen, it is there for you to look up. Leslie, Amy, thank you both for joining us today. Leslie Mulhern, Senior Director of Crisis and Community-Based Services at Sweetser. Amy Brook, the Manager of Mobile Crisis Services for Piscataquis and Penobscot counties. Today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith. Nikki Shields ran the board, and we also had help from the MPBN web team. Don't forget, on February 27th, we kick off the first Maine Calling Book Club. We will be discussing Sarah Orne-Jewett's classic, The Country of the Pointed Firs. Tomorrow on the program, how to best get young kids to learn to love reading. Join host Keith Shortall for that. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on MPBN.